Welcome, guys. The Accidental Engineer here. We're joined today by Ketan Nayak.
Yeah.
Ketan is a product manager at Dropbox in San Francisco, California, United States. Ketan has a really impressive background, having done a master's back in India, a master's at MIT, joined a technology company on the East Coast called APT, which was acquired by MasterCard.
That's right.
After which, Ketan found his way to the West Coast, where he's now at Dropbox.
Yeah.
And for our audience that might not know what product you manage at Dropbox, do you mind sharing a little bit about what your team does and what you do?
Yeah, sure. My team, I'm a part of the product team at Dropbox, and the product team is split into various pillars. And one of the pillars that I work under is the growth and monetization pillar. And specifically within growth and monetization, I work on analytics and data infrastructure. And particularly within analytics and data infra, I do a couple of different things. First of all, the purview of analytics and data infra is to manage all of the analytics stack at Dropbox and making sure that Dropboxers as a whole are leveraging data to make better decisions. But more importantly, what I've been recently focusing on is how to use experimentation to drive Dropbox's growth.
Nice. I forgot to mention in introducing you how the two of us met originally.
Yes.
So
it's a great story.
I'll be brief and feel free to butt in with details, but I think our audience would be entertained knowing that we actually met in Boston, where we were both, you were still in your master's program.
That's right.
I was working for a tech company there.
Yes.
And you, me, and a third friend of ours participated or met at a Kaggle competition.
Yep.
So for our audience that doesn't know what Kaggle is, do you mind explaining?
Yeah. So for those who don't know what Kaggle is, it is this website that brings together a community of data scientists and matches them with a set of different data problems that companies or organizations want them to tackle. And as a part of that, they host a bunch of different competitions in different cities to make this more of like a community, a meetup where people get to know each other and work on interesting problems. And Max and I, we worked on, I believe it was a Walmart data set, and we were asked to predict the sales of certain Walmart products.
Mm-hmm. And I remember it turned out, we did not get first place.
Yes.
But we did place pretty well.
Yes, I think we placed third.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. I have a certificate.
Nice. I remember we actually got a cash prize and went out to sushi.
Yes.
But I'm guessing you might not use all of the same toolkit that you do at your current job that we used when we were solving the Kaggle problem.
No, not at all.
So for people who are curious about the role of a product manager and what your toolkit looks like, especially on analytics products, do you mind sharing for people what kinds of software you use on a regular basis as a product manager?
Yeah, so in terms of the software I use, I think that's typically mostly writing email or writing documents. So in some sense, I don't use the R or Python that we were using in Kaggle. But as a product manager, the toolkits that I employ are mostly in talking to different stakeholders, bringing them together, and agreeing upon a unified vision of a product. I always say that a product manager's role is to ship the right thing to the right people at the right time. And to do so, there needs to be information that has to be aggregated from different parts, a collective vision of what the product has to be, needs to be built, and then the people who are working on it, the engineers and the designers, should know what this vision of what we are driving towards is. And then you manage the release of that product. And so there's like various aspects of information gathering, negotiation, maybe some data analysis, stakeholder negotiation and things like that, that are probably more important. Software-wise, I just use Gmail a lot.
So for engineers,
One
of the most critical aspects of product management or project management, which we will discuss the difference between in a little bit, is estimation.
Correct.
So you mentioned stakeholders. What does the estimation process look like to a product manager looking into an engineering team?
Yeah, so when you talk about estimation, there's always a tension between product managers and engineers. Engineers want more time, product managers want less time. Because as a PM, what I care about is shipping things faster, sooner, so that users are happier and we make an impact. Whereas engineers care more about code quality, making things robust, having a better data model, thinking through problems in depth. And that's where the tension comes in. And the way I think about it as a PM is, and basically what engineers tend to do is they give estimates by looking at a project and making a mental map of here are the steps that I need to do to successfully build a product. But there's a lot more involved in taking a built product and releasing it. It involves things like shipping, things like release communication, QAing, and all of that. So what I do as a rule of thumb is I take my engineer's estimate and 2x it, and then use that as my true estimate. And the reason is, one, things always get delayed, and two, I always want to under-promise and over-deliver when it comes to users or people that I am delivering or giving a promise to.
For sure, for sure. So on that note of working with stakeholders and estimation, maybe for our audience that doesn't know about this topic, myself included, what exactly is the distinction between product management and project management?
Yeah, that is a very interesting topic. And a lot of people confuse product management and project management. Here's the way I think about it. Product management is a very, and the way the role has been defined more recently is very much driven from like the software tech industry perspective, where what you're doing is, a lot of people say product manager is the CEO of the product. I tend to view it a little bit differently, but the idea is you're taking a product from inception, you're thinking about your users, getting use cases, figuring out creative ways to solve problems that users face, and you're figuring out a technical solution with engineers, designing it, building, shipping, and releasing it. So in some sense, you are the primary stakeholder for a product or a set of features that comprise a product in its entire life cycle. Project management, in my opinion, is more broadly applicable. You'll have project managers in like oil industries, you have project managers in like medical administrative fields and so on. And typically, the scope of the role can vary a lot depending on the size of the organization or the size of the project. But what it encompasses is very small parts of a very large project. So things like operations, things like delivery, things like making sure deliverables are on time. So making Gantt charts and following up with people. So it's a little different in the sense that you're not delivering something, but you're managing something, or you're making sure something is happening on time and there is efficiency and effectiveness. But as a product manager, you are building a product that is delivered to end users.
So this might be a little subjective. We can go to objective data for this.
Yes.
But is product management a more prestigious role in an organization than a project manager? Very generally?
I would like to think so. And this is generally because even by the sheer number of roles that are available, product manager or product management roles are far fewer in industry than project management.
You were distinguishing how a project manager's role is kind of a subset of the role that a product manager plays.
I don't want to call it a necessary subset. I would just say like it intersects. But it intersects in like one specific area, and there could be things that a project manager does that a product manager doesn't necessarily do.
Okay.
And a product manager sometimes is pretty much high level, doesn't go into the weeds, depending again on the size of the company that you work on. If you work in a startup, you always end up doing everything.
Yeah.
But that's probably a fair way to characterize things.
So for our audience that might be starting their careers or in their first job, or might be thinking about transitioning to product management from a more or less technical role. How did you find your first role out of grad school?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I actually ended up getting into product management partly by accident.
Sure.
And the reason is when I was graduating from grad school at MIT, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And typically the people that don't know exactly what they want to do try out consulting because you're smart and you help people solve problems. And you get paid for it, seems reasonable. And I was interviewing for a bunch of consulting roles, and turns out the company that I actually ended up at had a consulting role open where I ended up at was APT. And the consulting role, I applied for it, and as I was going through the interview process, the folks at the company told me, hey, there's a product manager role. This seems like a better fit for you. Why don't you try out? And I learned more about the role and seemed like super interesting and really what I wanted to do. So I ended up taking it, and I pushed through it. So for most people who want to get into product management, there are generally two ways to get into it, especially if you're graduating or have just graduated. The path number one is kind of what I did, which is get into a PM role straight out of school. And this is usually with an APM program, which are becoming more popular now. Google has the famed Associate Product Manager program. Dropbox now has a new grad product manager program. A lot of companies are coming up with these new university grad product management roles. But what is more common is people transitioning into product management roles from another, let's say, technical or non-technical role in a company. And you asked me the question on how does one transition from those roles as well. So if you're an engineer, typically what you really do well is you understand kind of the code side of things, you know what the code base is like, you know what the product value proposition is. What you know less about is kind of how the product is sold. Like once the product is built, that like latter half is like harder to know as an engineer, and the earlier bit, like what are users telling, what is the user perception, what do users want. I've seen that like senior engineers, as they ramp up on a product, like get like more information on either side. But the people who want to become product managers actively seek out to learn that earlier phase and the latter phase. And this turns out like learning more about customer experience, like how, what kind of tickets people are filing, how does that evolve into like a persona of the user and their problems, and the latter phase, like how do products get built and shipped and so on.
Mm-hmm.
For the non-technical role, again, it's about covering the gaps. So they would have to understand, oh, how does the product work? Get a little more technical understanding. So that's probably like how people transition, like go beyond the boundaries of their current role, learn more. And this happens maybe organically with people doing more projects that they're interested in. And once they start doing it naturally, especially at growing companies, they're always hiring product managers. And typically companies look to hire product managers internally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's easier for them to slot in and perform and wrap up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably what my best advice is for people getting into PM.
Okay. So for people who are not internal transitions into PM.
Yes.
A lot of people reference job descriptions as
yes.
their source of truth about what it is that employers are looking for. So being on the other side of the table interviewing candidates or even reviewing resumes of candidates, what are the pieces of job descriptions that you've seen for product managers that are the most important to look for or are the most truthful?
Yeah, that is very interesting because it's kind of hard to pin down exactly what a product manager does at times. And the reason is a product manager, in my opinion, has to do whatever success is necessary to ensure success of a product. And at times that might be doing anything from moving tables or really anything, to be honest, depending on the size of the company. But here are a few things that I've seen come up in product manager roles. One is be technical or have like a very strong demonstrated technical interest, especially if you're in school and pursuing a non-technical degree.
So that could mean learning a programming language?
It could be learning a programming language. It could be, even if you learn a programming language, if I'm recruiting, which I am, for Dropbox, one thing that I like to look at is a strong demonstrated interest that shows more of an application of that knowledge. So what I would want to know is not whether you took a Python class, but after having taken that class, what did you build?
Mm-hmm.
Did you build an app? Did you build like something that tries to solve a problem? And how you built that is also very important for me because I would want you to know, like, did you go to the user? Did you talk to them? How did you figure out what exactly to focus on and things like that? So that is number one, which is ability to like work on or demonstrated interest in working on technical problems.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is I like to see some type of drive, motivation, and like self-motivation or leadership skills. And the reason I say this is product manager, the role is very nebulous. It's not very well defined. And at times, you don't have very distinct leadership or someone saying, like, here's where you should go. In fact, the engineers on your team will be looking at you and say, what direction should we go on? And you are the one to point that direction. A lot of that can be learned, But I feel that product managers who have taken leadership roles, done things outside of their classwork, people who start companies, for instance, so like really good stepping stones for people to learn what it is like to be in the shoes of product manager without having had that title.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, like, couple of things that I really like to look for is, are they data driven? Are they do they have like some sensibility of design? Do they have like some sort of product intuition? And all of these can again be built by looking at products, keeping what I call like soft eyes. You look at products and say, okay, how can I make that better? How can I solve certain problems better? And building that sort of personality or a worldview will help people.
So on the topic of being data-driven and
yeah.
that being a quality looked for in candidates, we recently interviewed Craig Kirstens of Citus Data.
Okay.
They're a database hosting provider where he's a product manager.
Okay.
And he was discussing the topic with us about the value of knowing SQL.
Yes.
And out of curiosity, are you using SQL on a day-to-day basis? Is it something that is a required criteria of PM candidates? Or is it something that is a less frequently used skill on your team at Dropbox?
Yeah, I use SQL a lot, and partly because I work with data a lot, and I like using data to drive decisions. And a lot of that means that I dig deeper into data on how people are using my products, what kind of trends that exist. And if you are working with data or any aspect related to data, or even in general, I would say if you are in like a technical field, either as a product manager, definitely a must if you're a product analyst or even an engineer, SQL is a must-have skill these days. And for those who are viewing this, I would say if you don't know SQL, but are looking to become an engineer or a product manager or getting into any sort of the technical aspect of a business, even non-technical roles such as marketing that are more data-driven, definitely need SQL language. Super easy language to learn, but tons of value. And if I look at some resume which says SQL on it, it doesn't like a huge spike or anything, but it just makes me a little more, that much more comfortable to know that, okay, this person can slot into the role better. But that being said, the product manager role is interesting because some people in PM tend to be very, very high level and business oriented. And at that point, the role is purely strategy driven. So they might not necessarily work with SQL as much as I do. So typically what I see is in a PM org, people fall on like a variety of like a wide spectrum. I have PMs who read through the code base. I'm not one of them, but there are people who are ex-engineers, read the code base. Then there are PMs who are very business focused who might not write SQL. But I think like the vast majority or like a majority of the spectrum that I spoke of definitely know SQL.
So in your time at APT
mm-hmm.
and then MasterCard after the acquisition.
Correct.
And now at Dropbox, how much of your PM roles have required interfacing with sales and marketing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And basically like APT and MasterCard, the role that I played was an enterprise a product manager where I was building products for other enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a role where there's a lot of interface with sales and marketing because when you work in a B2B company, the way you sell products is not not via direct sale the companies adopting their products on their own. But typically you have a sales force that goes out and reaches out to a company and then that's how they build the product. So sales and marketing function is very crucial in enterprise businesses. At APT, I worked a lot with sales and marketing. And the way I interfaced this was either through sales calls, sitting in and saying, being the product expert, explaining the features or the nature of the product. And marketing was primarily to build white papers and case studies on how the product can solve certain business problems that enterprises were looking to solve.
Mm-hmm.
At Dropbox, I do a little bit less of that, partly because I work on internal products now, and there is no sales and marketing because I'm selling to other Dropboxers and helping them use the tools that I build.
Got it. In contrast to working with engineers,
yes,
I can imagine how different it is to work with sales and marketing. For
yeah.
our audience that might know how sales is a quota-driven, performance-driven compensation
yeah.
field, what kinds of different behavior do you see as a PM working and collaborating with sales and marketing versus collaborating with engineering?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it's all about perspective, because you can look at a product from multiple lenses. You can look at a product from a technical lens. And when I'm talking with my engineers, it's talking about the data model. It's talking about making technical trade-offs to meet certain deadlines, certain use cases, and so on. So I personally look at it as taking a technical lens on the product. But when I go to sales and marketing, it's about like it's about value proposition demonstration. So it's about taking a product and saying, how can I demonstrate this value to someone who might be interested in purchasing this product, aka the prospect. So a lot of that then focuses on putting like a business lens or like a value lens. And it's about thinking, okay, we've built X, Y, and Z. Which might be really technical or very in-depth features, but how can I pitch this or present this in a way such that someone who's a decision maker on the other side perceives this as valuable? So there's a lot of like translation of a highly technical product into something that is more parsable and consumable by someone who's a decision maker who might not know everything about the product that you're looking to sell.
So with sales and marketing, you're acting more as a translator of technical concepts, or?
I would think like it's translator is like a reasonable way to phrase it, but it's not like a direct translation. It's about like phrasing it differently. It's about looking at it from like a different angle. Case in point is, let's say I built feature X that has like a very flexible data model that does X, Y, and Z. There might be one or two things coming out of that flexibility on the engineering side that might be super interesting for the business user. Maybe they can now view data in like different dimensions, do some certain types of analyses that will help them make whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about stating the value of what you've decided on the engineering side and how that impacts end users.
Got it.
Yeah.
So one of the topics that we talked about for recording was
mm-hmm.
about the lifestyle change, maybe not lifestyle, but role change you encountered working at APT,
mm-hmm.
Applied Predictive Technologies,
yeah,
through the acquisition by MasterCard.
Mm-hmm.
And for our audience that's curious about what life is like through working at a tech company that gets acquired, and what ultimately led to your decision to join Dropbox,
yeah,
do you mind sharing that background?
Yeah, sure. So I was working at APT, Applied Predictive Technologies, Trade-Out School. And this was about maybe 1.5 to 2 years in when APT was acquired by MasterCard. I didn't really know what to expect from the acquisition. And again, I have heard different stories, so people's perceptions of what happens after an acquisition may be very different, but this is just my story. Interestingly, like there were a few things that changed and a few things that didn't change. One of the things that didn't change, which I really thought was great, was the culture of the company and how the company operated. And I really like that. And one of the things that I would like to say is APT, and especially the senior management at APT, went the distance to make sure that even though there was an acquisition done, the company operated relatively, from a culture perspective, relatively independent. And it was still felt as if we were working like in the similar organization, and there wasn't like a huge influx of changes that came right away. From like a culture org standpoint. So that was really nice to have, because from like an employee standpoint, from my perspective, that didn't, it just meant that I was still comfortable working with my teams. There was no massive disruption. From the product side, however, there were a few interesting things. Because of MasterCard's capabilities and what APT did, APT built analytics software, there were interesting product opportunities that we could pursue as a result of that acquisition. And as a product manager, it was really exciting for me because now we could, because of the acquisition and the integration capabilities, there were interesting projects that came up front that were more challenging from like, hey, this is, we need to make these integration capabilities work, these initial product launches work. And I worked on one of those products, and it was just like very interesting to work on some of these things.
I realize that we can't really get very specific about these
yes.
things. Do you mind sharing what led you ultimately to decide to move out to San Francisco and Dropbox?
Yeah, so I think like my decision to move out was maybe less related to the acquisition and more related to how much time I had spent at the company and how much I was learning and doing things. I'd spent 3 years at the company, and I say this jokingly at times, your learning curve kind of starts tapering at like the 2.5-3 year mark. And one sign for people who are listening to this talk to look out for, at least the way I look at it, is a lot of my job became very predictable in the sense that, okay, I was working on a project. It was interesting. There was nothing wrong about it. But I knew exactly what steps I would take, who I would talk to, how I would execute on it, and what result I would get out of it. So all of that process had become so predictable because I'd done so much of it over and over again that it felt that, oh, I'm just executing at this point and not really learning as a part of executing. And so for me, the more personal decision was, hey, I should move somewhere else to learn something interesting. I'd learned a lot at 3 years of like a new product manager role or even any technical role, you end up learning a lot. I'd learned a lot, but learning new and interesting things in a new environment, moving to the Bay Area, building like a network here were probably things that I considered or weighed more heavily.
Sure, sure. What are the big contrasts? You mentioned wanting to reset your learning curve so you can learn more faster.
Yeah.
What are the big contrasts from your experience now at Dropbox versus at MasterCard?
Yeah, so I will like bucket these into three buckets. So there's the company aspect, and within the company aspect, I say there's a macro and a micro, and then there's a non-company aspect. This is how PMs talk. We are very structured.
Okay.
But from the non-company aspect, it's all about like kind of what you do outside of work. So Bay Area has like a huge network. Everyone's in tech. You always meet with interesting people doing interesting things in tech. If you want to learn more about tech, just go to Meetup or anything, Facebook events, you will start diving deeper. Contrary to that, in DC, where the tech is much less, it's way narrower. It's very hard to find opportunities to grow your network in tech. However, because there are very few companies, the network is smaller, you grow tighter or closer with the people. Here, on the networking aspect, you meet a lot of people, but the bonds are more fleeting and the interactions are more fleeting. In DC, I personally felt that the bonds were tighter, but it was like a fewer, more smaller, close community. Coming to the company aspect, if you talk about the micro, it's just like how companies operate, like what tools you use are different, what cadence you do things, how you plan, how you strategize, all of that is different. From like a macro perspective, the biggest change for me was the size of the company. APT had like maybe 100 engineers or a team of 100 engineers, and we were 8 product managers, something like that. Dropbox has 70 product managers and multiple hundreds of engineers, probably closer to 1,000. And so that transition was large for me because operating in like a larger company is way different than operating in a small company. Internal communication, just like making things work, aligning with stakeholders, a lot of that dynamically is very different.
It's interesting that between both companies, there's about a 1-to-10 ratio of PMs to engineers. Any theories on why that is? Are MasterCard and Dropbox in similar businesses?
No, I think like not really. I think it varies a lot. Typically, it also depends on how big the size of infrastructure teams are. Typically, infrastructure teams don't need product managers, or they need very, very few product managers. So the ratio tends to be very few product managers to a large number of engineers. If you are a front end, if you are working on front end facing products, then that means that you have more product managers and designers relative to the number of engineers. I mean, the ratio varies a lot from like 1:7, 1:5, to 1:10, as you've been talking about. I just think it's pure coincidence.
Got it.
Yeah.
For people who are job seeking, one of the things I'd love to have you do is plug any roles that your team's hiring for.
This is a great opportunity. I'm actually the staff member on the Dropbox's new grad product manager program, which means that I manage the recruiting process, the onboarding process, and the project matching process for the new grad product manager.
Awesome. So people who are finishing their bachelor's or BS's?
Yeah. So anyone who is finishing their bachelor's or master's, or even anyone who may be working but has less than a year of work experience, when you start as a new grad product manager, we want you to have less than a year of work experience. You'd be eligible for this program. We are actually actively recruiting right now. As I said earlier, if you are looking to get into product management, one of these programs is really great to get into. And I'm not just saying that because you get in at Dropbox, but Dropbox has a really great product team. But right from the outset, you are put into this world where there's a very solid system of mentors, managers, coaches, peers that really help you gain or fill the gaps in areas that where you might not have the skills. So it's a very structured way of learning product management. And I was a new grad product manager. I've been through one of these programs at APT, however, and I felt that it's helped me a lot personally. So anyone who's looking to get into PM, look out for Dropbox's new grad product manager role. We are looking to actively hire, and it would be great to have you apply.
We'll absolutely drop the link in the show notes, so yep. Take a look at those. Caitin, this has been freaking awesome. Thanks,
Thank you so much, Max.